Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth says there's only one place to get courage for all you're facing.
God is the ultimate source of all encouragement. And anything or anyone other than God that we turn to find our primary encouragement, we'll find is insufficient.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Heaven Rules. For September 4th, 2025, I'm Dana Gresh. Yesterday, Nancy began a series called Defying Discouragement. Here's the thinking behind that title. Defy is another word for resist or oppose, and Scripture tells us to resist the devil. Nancy calls discouragement one of the enemy's favorite tools. So when we defy discouragement, we're engaging in a true Ephesians 6 kind of warfare. She recorded this series in Little Rock, Arkansas. Nancy has friends there who serve as missionaries in the developing world.
They've been there for just about a year, and last week, their colleague, their senior leader on the field, had a family circumstance come up and had to leave the field on a day's notice. So this couple, my friends, were left with the work themselves, and they're just new to the work. And then the next morning, they received a call letting them know that my friend Cheryl's father had died, and she was going to have to come back to the States for the funeral. The family is here in Arkansas, so she was going to be coming through the area and needed a place to stay. And so we began to set up the arrangements. And within a period of days, I don't know that I have the whole sequence exactly right, her father died, and then several days later, her husband's mother died in another state. And they had just lost their field leaders. Now Cheryl comes to the States to bury her father. As soon as she gets here, she hears that her mother-in-law has died. And she had to make this long trip from another country to here to Little Rock. I was to pick her up at the airport. She missed a flight because it was overbooked, and she ended up having, I think it was a 21-hour travel day, just with one thing after another going wrong on the trip to Little Rock. And then she said she got searched because of all the security. She had to come through Miami, and that's a big high security area. And she said, I think it was 15 times in the course of that day, she had to stop and go through different kinds of searches. Well, by the time I picked her up at the airport, it was 10:30 at night, our time. She had been going since, I think, 2:30 that morning or something. This was Father's Day. She was traveling. She had just lost her dad. And my heart, I'd been praying for her during the day. My heart was just going out to her. And I met her there at the airport, and she did look tired. She had to be. She was exhausted. But this woman had a smile on her face. I was amazed. My heart had been so heavy for her all day as I'd been thinking of what she was going through. And she greeted me, and I hugged her, and I said, "Oh, Cheryl, I love you. I'm so glad to see you. I can't believe what you've been through. And how are you doing?" And she smiled and she said, "Nancy, it's been a hard day, but God's grace is so real. God's grace is so real." And as she's been in and out of my home here for the last several days and going through the funeral arrangements, and both of their families are unbelieving families, so they were facing just enormous loss. But in the midst of all of this, and not in any fake or surface way, she just kept saying, "There's grace." She told me about their past year on the mission field and all the adjustments they've had to make, some of the difficulties that they've experienced in that responsibility. And then she kept coming back to saying, "But God's grace is so real." And I was seeing the grace of God lived out in my friend, in her husband, as they're walking through these circumstances. We've been looking at the life of David in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and seeing a time in David's life, and there were many, when David faced just overwhelming circumstances. I mean, grief piled upon grief, wave upon wave of grief. And David felt the grief. He wept. He was distressed. But we saw yesterday that in the midst of the enormous loss, having lost the wives and children of David's men having been taken away captive, and the men threatening to stone David for putting them in this circumstance, in the midst of all this, we read in verse 6, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord." We're looking this week at how to deal with discouragement. We all go through times of discouragement. My friends Jeff and Cheryl have just been through some very discouraging times. Some of you are walking through some discouraging days in your life, in your family, in your health, in your place of work, in your church. How do you deal with it? First of all, you do what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He turned to the Lord first and he said, "Lord, you are a source of encouragement that I can't find anywhere else." God is the ultimate source of all encouragement. And anything or anyone other than God that we turn to find our primary encouragement, we'll find is insufficient. Not enough to fill our tank when it's really on low. God is the ultimate source of all true encouragement. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, may he encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." God himself is the encourager. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all encouragement." The God of all comfort, who encourages us in all our troubles. And then we learn in the New Testament that God has given the Holy Spirit to encourage us, to comfort us. In fact, the word that Jesus uses to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, it's the same word that speaks of encouragement and encouraging one another in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit is given to be our encourager, to be our comforter. He is the one who ministers the grace of God to our hearts in those times when we cannot find any other source of encouragement. The Apostle Paul knew what it was in the New Testament. We've been looking at David in the Old Testament, but the Apostle Paul in the New learned what it was to find God as his source of encouragement in every circumstance and season of life. You read in, for example, in Acts chapter 23, that Paul was being grilled, being questioned by a mob crowd there in Jerusalem. And verse 10 tells us the dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul. God himself came into those barracks, and he said to Paul, "Take courage. Be encouraged. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." God said to Paul, "I'm not through with you yet. And until I'm through with you here on this earth, no one can take your life. So take courage. Be encouraged. I have a plan for you. And I haven't fallen off my throne. I'm fulfilling my plan." You see the same thought in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul talks about a whole string of people who had deserted him. He says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, and at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me." And then verse 17, "But the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear." Paul was saying, "Everyone deserted me. And the few who didn't, they did me harm. But God stood with me. God will never desert me. God will never do me harm, except as he knows it's needed ultimately to do me good. God had a purpose for my life." He said, "God strengthened me so that the message might be preached through me and that all the Gentiles might hear." You see, God encourages us not just so we can be encouraged, but so that we can become instruments of sharing the gospel of Christ with others. So we can testify of the gospel and the grace of God. Having been encouraged and strengthened by the Lord, we can become channels of blessing and encouragement in the lives of others. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on 1 Samuel chapter 30, the story we've been looking at where David strengthened himself in the Lord, Matthew Henry has this to say about that passage: "Those that have taken the Lord for their God may take encouragement from their relationship to him in the worst of times. It is the duty of all godly people, whatever happens, it's our duty to encourage themselves in God as their Lord and their God, assuring themselves that He can and He will bring light out of darkness, peace out of trouble, and good out of evil to all that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. Matthew Henry says, it's our duty to encourage ourselves in the Lord. You know, you can encourage yourself in the Lord when there is no human or visible means of encouragement or support around you. When there are no props, when there's nothing to hold you up, when there's no good news coming your way, when everyone has deserted you or abandoned you, there is no situation that you will ever face. There is no situation I will ever face in which we cannot receive strength and encouragement from God. Now, that doesn't mean we won't have to walk through the circumstance. It doesn't mean we won't feel intensely or keenly the loss or the pain. It doesn't mean God wraps us up in this little cocoon and good Christians never hurt. But it means in the midst of the hurt, in the midst of the pain, that in every circumstance, in every situation I will ever face, I can receive strength and encouragement from God. And you can too. I've been reading this past week a wonderful biography, and it's been really encouraging me, the story of Ann Judson. Ann Judson was the first woman missionary to be sent out from the United States. She and her husband, Adoniram Judson, were missionaries to Burma back in the 1800s. And oh my goodness, the circumstances that they had to walk through. I'm only halfway through the book. But the things that they faced that just go beyond anything that most of us will have to ever experience in this lifetime. And then the journals and the letters that Ann Judson kept. And she talks about how God was such a very real and present help and strength and encouragement in their troubles. Let me read to you a few things that she wrote. She wrote in a letter to a friend, "These things, my dear Nancy, have caused us to weep and pour out our hearts in prayer to Him whose direction we so much wish and need. We feel that we are alone in the world, with no real friend but each other, no one on whom we can depend but God." And then she wrote, "It seems as if there were no resting place for me on earth. For the first year and a half, they went by ship from place to place and could not find a country that would allow them to come in and preach the gospel. So they wandered around and had enormous loss and pain. A child stillborn, another child that they buried at 7 months, and a lot of physical illness. She said, "It seems as if there was no resting place for me on earth. Oh, when will my wanderings terminate? When shall I find some little spot that I can call my home while in this world? Yet, I rejoice in all thy dealings, O my heavenly Father, for thou dost support me under every trial and enable me to lean on thee." She strengthened and encouraged herself in the Lord. She wrote home to her parents and said, "We felt very gloomy and dejected the first night we arrived in view of our prospects. But we were enabled to lean on God and to feel that He was able to support us under the most discouraging circumstances." She strengthened her heart in the Lord. She encouraged herself in the Lord. And so can you. And so can I. No matter what we're facing, no matter how bleak or dismal the prospects, no matter how long and dark the tunnel seems, strengthen your heart in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. He will not fail. Father, our hearts are strengthened and encouraged as we just talk about these things. And as we see what you did in the life of David and in the life of Paul, and in the life of your servant, Ann Judson. And Lord, you haven't changed. You're the God who encouraged Ann and Adoniram Judson there in Burma a couple of hundred years ago. And you're the God who comes and encourages and strengthens our hearts today. So would you do it by your grace? Help us to turn to you and to strengthen and encourage our hearts in the Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth telling you where to find strength for the challenges you're facing today. When we hear examples of how others got strength in the Lord, it encourages us to do the same. And you know what? Over the years, Revive Our Hearts has had the opportunity to hear from some warriors of the faith who've needed to lean on the Lord in situations that are hard to imagine. Women like Johnny Erickson Tata, Sierra Deerking, and many more. In the time we have left, let's hear from one of these women about how she strengthens herself in the Lord. Catherine Wolfe miraculously survived a catastrophic stroke at the age of 26. It changed her life forever.
I, as you can see, still have a paralyzed face, and I'm now deaf permanently in one ear, and my eyes do not track one image. So I have permanent double vision, and I walk using assistive devices or sit in a wheelchair most days. And I have ongoing swallowing issues and, you know, a number of probably lifelong effects. And yet everything is so much better than it was after the stroke. It took about 2 years in hospitals and brain rehabs to relearn basic functions, how to eat, speak, walk, swallow food. It took 11 months to swallow food again, actually. And yeah, it's been quite a difficult road these past 16 years.
Talk about discouraging. For 5 years, Catherine wrestled with her new reality.
I think we're all very good at denying, being in denial a bit, but instead looking it straight in the eye and saying, this is it, and it is not going away. And it changes the question, because if we accept it's not going away, how then will we live? What will we do with the days we are on earth?
Catherine realized something crucial. She didn't need changed circumstances. She needed hope. She needed to encourage herself in the Lord.
The feeling of hope failed me years ago, but what carried me was the habit of hope, was making a decision to make hope part of my life, reminding myself of the deep truths of Jesus I believe, surrounding myself with people who are telling me that story, that want me to live it really well. Deep gratitude for the story that God is writing in my life has been part of that practice of hope, is recognizing the good things are not over there in her story. No, no, no. The good things of God are in this story, because the good things of God are not physical things at all. She could have a perfect life and be miserable. And yet my life could appear to be falling apart, and I'm loving it. And I think that is so the secret, is loving the life God has given specifically to you. You know, everybody wants to ask the what if questions. What if this happened? What if that happened? What if I would have done this? And I just think that is so the wrong question. The right question is what is? What is in the story? What is here right now that God is doing? What is right in front of our noses? Do we have eyes to see that and wake up? The what if loop is terrorizing, paralyzing, traumatizing. The escape hatch, I believe, off of the what if loop is hope. Because hope gives us permission to live our actual lives. Hope, it lets us enter back into the ongoing hurt of this world, but to have been built differently for an ongoing hope. I love the thought that the Lord has treasure in the darkness. Isaiah 45:3, that he gives hidden treasure in the darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that we may know that he is God, the God of Israel, the God who summons us by name. And I'm obsessed with that thought, that if you have to walk into the deep darkness of your story, you might as well get the treasure that's there and let it inform how you live the rest of your life. And you're going to need it. You're going to need that treasure for the rest of your journey, which will not be pain-free.
Catherine hasn't found physical healing, but she's not discouraged by this anymore because she's found something deeper.
You know, after my stroke and my body becoming so disabled, my feelings were so hurt. How could God let this happen to me? What have I ever done? Like, this is some horrific curse, and I need healing of the body. But no, I didn't. What I needed was healing of the soul, to feel like this is not a mistake, because God doesn't make mistakes. That God sees me fit to be on this earth means I am worthy of being here, even if my body is disabled. That I need a sort of a redefining, truly, of how I viewed healing so that I could cope, that I could truly see what healing is and isn't. You know, healing many times is purely about the physical body. And I believe it's so much deeper than that. That's curing. Curing can happen. Sometimes it does. Sometimes God cures 100%. But healing is available to all at all times. So no, I don't pray for healing of my body anymore because I know too much. I don't think there's anything wrong with those prayers, but I believe John 9:3 is true in my story, that this happened so that the works of God might be revealed. I would not have chosen this for my life. I would not have chosen to live inside a disabled body. But at this point, 16 years out, I can't imagine my life not having a disabled body. And I mean that. And I've just seen too much in our space of disability ministry, so many sweet, dear people whose lives have been ravaged through disability, just gut-wrenching stories of pain and hardship, and yet electrifying joy. And I feel a deep camaraderie with so many brothers and sisters who never could have imagined living their lives, and yet are doing it with just a tremendous rebellion against the darkness and sadness.
There's more to Catherine Wolfe's story, and we'll be sharing that in a future Revive Our Hearts program. Stay tuned for that. You can also check out Catherine's book, Hope Heals, A True Story of Overwhelming Loss and an Overcoming Love. There's a link in the transcript of this program at reviveourhearts.com. How would she advise someone who finds herself facing suffering with no end in sight?
The journey is long. What is that adage, like, the days are long, but the years are short? Somehow the years keep going by, and I keep, you know, offering my hallelujah in the night, and it's working. So I would encourage everybody, keep going. Don't stop, and find the treasure while you're there.
That's some powerful advice. Don't stop. Persevere. If you're facing discouraging circumstances and you need some help persevering, we created a resource for you. It's called Endure, 40 Days of Fortitude. This booklet walks you through a 40-day challenge, encouraging you to defy discouragement by finding strength in the Lord. When you make a donation of any amount in September, we'll send you this booklet to say thank you. To give, visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. And be sure to join us tomorrow as we talk about seeking the Lord's guidance in our discouragement.
Listen, I don't care how discouraged you are, how overwhelmed you are, what the circumstances are that you may be facing in your life, you can sing to the Lord. And I find myself often pulling out a hymnal and singing some of those old songs like, "No One Understands Like Jesus." "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. I must tell Jesus all of my trials." I'll sing songs, choruses of praise, of worship, of prayer, singing to the Lord. That's a command. You can do it. The danger is that when we're in depressing or discouraging circumstances, our tendency is to wallow in discouragement rather than getting up and doing what we know we're supposed to do.
You won't want to miss it. Tomorrow here on Revive Our Hearts. Thank you. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.